that every Wednesday night is just a good hour to come and be in here, be in the book, be in prayer, and get to fellowship one with the other. And I hope that it's an encouragement to each of us. And these last couple few have been especially blessed, and we're thankful for the men that have been taking care of their brother Shannon Barker and Wade Farmer. Play a great role here at the church as both deacons and help out in just the leadership and help out, though, in many areas. And so one of them has been a great blessing, and that's this study or series that they've been doing. And so I'm just going to turn it over to Brother Shannon. He'll start off, maybe turn it over to Wade here in just a little bit. But I know that each part of it, I hope that you're like me, that you've looked forward to it, and it's been a great blessing. If you have missed one of them, I challenge you to go back and watch the archive services and maybe fill in some of the gaps, and just a wonderful time we've had. So Brother Shannon, why don't you come, and we'll turn it over to you.
Opportunity to teach on a Wednesday night again. I count it a great privilege and honor, and certainly after Brother Gabe shared the experience with the mic and how they left the mic on during before he preached and the live stream, it did give you a new trust in the folks that are controlling, and so it made you think a couple before you sang real loud during the singing. But praise the Lord, thankful for being here. Again, this material is something that was not my own. I studied this and also really to look at and see what the Lord would have us study. And so used it as a framework for this study. So they're telling me that I need to turn the mic on. So evidently that this mic's not on, so give me just a second to get this turned on. I'm getting a thumbs up. So we are on, and so I appreciate that. So certainly thankful to be able to teach and share this with you. Pastor, it has given me a new appreciation for the time and effort it takes. And I certainly want to say thank you to our church for what you do, the hours that you spend to get ready for not just a Wednesday night, but a Sunday morning and a Sunday night and a Wednesday night and a Sunday school. You do a lot for our church and bless us and feed us. And so thank you for that. Certainly have a great appreciation for that, and humbled to really share from God's word what we have this evening. And this will be a little bit different. This will be an abbreviated version. So these last three characters from the Old Testament, we'll do a very brief overview. I have supplied the church with a more in-depth PowerPoint that has all the details on it. If it's something that you would like, please just contact the church. They'll make that available to you. But the time that we have to be able to finish this up and want to try to give a brief overview of these last few characters from the Old Testament as we look at the seven money types. And so, again, remember this series is not about where to invest your money, how to spend your money, how to budget, but rather how do we learn about how God has made us. And each of you that have taken the survey have been able to find which Bible character in the Old Testament you relate most to. And some of those may have some that you relate most to, and then comes in number two and second, and you can see the relation. I've talked to many of you that said, I don't know how this survey works, but I took it, and it told me, you told me exactly what I am like, okay? And praise the Lord, we can see similarities in this, and we can learn from it, and I pray that tonight will be much the same. We've talked about Moses and Abraham. We've talked about Isaac and Aaron. Tonight, we're going to talk about and finish up with David, Jacob, and Joseph. And so as we look at the first one here, we're going to look at David and the life of David. If you'll turn to the book of 1 Samuel, and in the book of 1 Samuel, chapter 17 and verse 32. Chapter 17 and verse 32. We see here a key verse in the life of David. And not too many services ago, heard a message about David and preached about this passage. But we see in chapter 17 and verse 32, it says, "And David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Thy servant will go and fight this Philistine." And so we see here that David, when we look at the background of David, David was a great leader of people. And David really, when we look at that in his, the aspect of God that we see in David's life is leadership. He encouraged the Israelites really to stand tall against the giants in their own life and the struggles in their own life. And we see this, and he reminds us, and David reminds us about why life matters. And really, they are inspired with confidence, and he was compelled to action. He aligned all the resources and got the job done for the glory of God because God was blessing his life and he was seeking God's leadership. We know that David relied on the Lord during this time. We see one of the basic beliefs of David is that money is a tool to create new futures. Well, what does that mean? David types are always looking to get better. David types are really have a distinct ability to see the big picture. Now, a lot of us can see what's right in front of us and say, well, I need to get that done, and I need to get that done. And if you've ever worked on a project at your house, you may say, okay, I've got all these things. I need to lay baseboard, and I need to put down that floor. I need to do the plumbing. Whereas some people can really take a step back and see that big picture of the project and see what needs to happen and what order it needs to happen in, that you don't do something before, oh, I put the sheetrock up and I wanted to put an outlet in the wall, okay? I won't have anybody raise their hands if you've ever made that decision, had to go back and put a new outlet in. But the fact is, people that are David types can see the big picture and understand the big picture of finances. And so we see here this idea and basic belief that money is a tool to create new futures. David types are driven by the why. That means they really inspire. David, if we look, you're in the book of 1 Samuel. If you look at verse number 22 through 24, we find out that David, along with the other men, ran initially from what was going on there. We see in verse number 22, it says, "And David left his carriage in the hand of the keeper of the carriage and ran to the army and came and saluted his brethren. And as he talked with them, behold, there came up a champion, a Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, out of the armies of the Philistines, and spake according to the same words, and David heard them." And what happened in verse 24? "And all the men of Israel, when they saw that man, fled from him and were sore afraid." So, you know, David ran away with the men first, and he got away and gathered those men. If we continue reading on, we find out that he found out why they ran and what was going on and what this giant was. And he was inspired because he really discovered why. They were mocking God's name. They were mocking the army of Israel. David understood then why that he wanted to take the lead and let the Lord lead his life and ultimately defeat the Philistine, the giant, Goliath by name. And so we see that David type really make good on the promises. They're financial leaders. We find out that they are the first to contribute, and they really get a deep satisfaction in being a significant part of a project or a plan going forward. We see that often they're the underdogs. Think about David. David really didn't measure up. He was too small. He was too young. He was maybe too annoying to his other brothers. But yet God had a plan. God had a plan to let him lead, use his leadership, use the way God had made him and set him forth to make a great difference in this time. And so there's also a desire to leave a legacy to the next generation. You know, there's joy in seeing that. And of course, you know, David shared with Solomon, and, you know, David provided all the materials and the leadership that ultimately was what was built Solomon's temple. So David did all the work, yet he left a legacy as Solomon built the temple, and we see that in his life. And so what do we see as the shadow side? Well, we see that it's selfishness. We know that David types are leaders. They're very upbeat and influencing. And sometimes if they're not careful, they can acquire resources. They're selfish, kind of sometimes self-serving. And that can be a challenge in the life of a David, a life of a leader, because they're used to being out front, used to leading. And sometimes they need to take a step back and look at things before they go on to that next step. And so, again, that's a quick summary of the David type. We're going to go on to Jacob. So we see in the life of Jacob, We see that this idea that the aspect of God is beauty. So they like to see the beauty in finances and stewarding their legacy. So if you'll turn to Genesis chapter number 33, Genesis 33, and we'll read verse 10 together, looking at Jacob. And in verse 10 it says, "And Jacob said, Nay, I pray thee, if now I have found grace in thy sight, then receive my present at thy my hand. For therefore I have seen thy face, as though I had seen the face of God, and thou wast pleased with me." Here we see that Jacob, really the basic belief of a Jacob type is that money should be used to pursue pleasurable experiences. Basically, they think this is amazing, I want it, and they usually don't ask about how much it costs first. They see the desire for it, the desire comes first, then the desire leads to the discipline that they need to get it, to have that they see. And so we see in this basic belief that they see beauty that's beneath the surface. It really helps us to notice life in all the beauty, all the mystery of life. Their generosity usually meets restraint. And what that means is their desire for what they want converges with discipline to get it. A lot of times we would think that the Jacob types are a mix of Abraham, if you remember, is the aspect of hospitality. They wanted to reach out to others and be hospitable, and it's a mix of hospitality and an Isaac type, which is a very disciplined type. And so you get that mixed together, and we see that this is the type of Jacob. Really free-flowing generosity, you know, mixes with that never-quit determination of an Isaac. And so we see this in the life of Jacob. What else do we see? We also see that they are created and are drawn to the beauty of things and experiences, and their emotions strongly drives purchases. And so, you know, before you start thinking, you know, ladies, you may really want that pair of shoes, and you may really, you know, see those pair of shoes, and you can see what they're going to go with, the outfit is going to be like, and you just got to have those things. And men, before you think I'm not going to pick on you, we can do the same thing with, and Pastor's looking at me like, oh, I thought you were going to leave that alone. And so, men, we can do the same thing. We can want that extra box of ammunition when we've got 20 in the storage, or we want that another fishing lure because you never know when you're gonna, you know, you break your line, you're gonna lose the lure, or you're gonna get hung up. You need that same one to be able to put back on there, because if you're catching fish, you certainly don't want to lose that lure and not be able to continue to catch fish, right, Russ? Amen. Yeah. Okay. So we see here that the emotions of a Jacob type typically will drive their purchases. And because of the emotions, Jacob types occasionally make purchases that are driven by desire rather than a real rational thought. So if you can imagine, you get two different money types, one driven by emotions to purchase, one that's very disciplined and planned. That can create a little misunderstanding sometimes. And that's where we've got to allow God to do a work in us and let us see us for who we are, and also see those around us for who they are, and understand how we communicate better and glorify God in the process. And so we see their emotions strongly drive their purchases. And they also have a flair for the extravagant. Again, they like to create this beauty, breathtaking experiences, and usually will certainly spare no expense to make that happen. And so those are the Jacob types. So if that is the way that God has made Jacob types, the shadow side to a Jacob type is indulgence. Of course, you know, they indulge in the desire to have, and they get what they want, and any way they can. They're, again, driven by emotion, and they overspend to create those appearances and those experiences. And so we see here that we got to be careful for Jacob types, because they're driven by emotion, that the tendency is they indulge in what they want regardless of the cost. And so we've got to be careful with that, as that is a challenge. So you have survived. We have made it to number 7, okay? This is our final money type, okay? So this is Joseph. And so we'll go through this money type, and then I'll turn it over to Brother Wade and certainly let him tie this together as we think about stewarding our legacy, understanding how God has made us, and stewarding our legacy in honor of the Lord. Turn to Genesis chapter number 39, and we'll read together in that chapter, verse number 2. Chapter 39 and verse number 2. It says, "And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian." And so we see here that the life of Joseph reveals the aspect of God in connection. And they, like here, we see that it was a connection was needed in the life of Joseph during the time of Israel. He connected the messages of the dreams to the reality of the action that God directed, the connections for open doors for him to lead him at the right place at the right time. And we know the story of Joseph and how God intervened and directed and those connections in his life. And so we see that in the life of Joseph. So Joseph types believe that basic belief is money opens doors and makes connections, and that's how money is to be used. They view access to resources as really that trust. They believe money should be used to forge and strengthen relationships and build sort of that network around them. They are the type that always has a full calendar of things to do and places to go and people to see, and because they believe in these type of connections. They see, again, this trust. Joseph takes the resources and management seriously. Feel like because they're able to make those connections, God has given them that, given the trust over to them to manage those situations and make those connections. And we see also that they have an ability to create and really streamline a lot of financial systems. Well, what does that mean? Well, Joseph types are typically those administrators of a system. They can connect all the flows and see how everything is going and understand how the things come in and come out and create those streamlined processes for finances. They believe helping others success is integral to personal success. In other words, because Joseph managed the people's resources, wherever he was trusted, he was promoted. He knew that he was following God's will, even when he was forgotten. And we can read scripture and we think, wow, you know, Joseph was left and he was forgotten and the dreams, but yet God had a plan. God's timing is perfect timing. And we see that in the life of Joseph and this idea of making connections. Use their connections to provide for others. Again, Joseph provided for the tribes of Israel during the famine and was put in a great leadership position in order to do that. And resourceful people, Joseph types are, because they know everyone and know usually what everything's going on. So Joseph types are in the know because, again, if you value connections and you value relationships, then you're going to know a lot of things and have an understanding of how things are working. And so then we see the final two here for Joseph types is they focus exclusively on the financial future, and they have an ability to see that. And we can understand that from how God used Joseph to provide for the Israelites in those time of famine, because he was being careful to make sure he was planning for the future, have strong inclinations about future financial realities. They understand or have the ability to connect what is and what looks like it is in the future and understand how to manage those things. Some of us can relate to this, but some people say, you can feel or you can smell the rain coming. It's kind of that same thought in a financial sense, as Joseph types can sense that. They have that sense of when things are coming and the future and how to plan for those realities. And so we see that the shadow type of Joseph's oftentimes manipulation. If you've made connections and you've made strong relationships and you have those at your disposal, if we're not careful as these Joseph types, we leverage that position and that influence and that financial wealth to get sort of what one wants or value those over the financial well-being of others. So we have to be careful that with Joseph types and those connections that we want to make, that we also do not use that to manipulate others and to take advantage of those around us. And so that brings us to the end of this part. It's been a real joy to share these thoughts with you. And Brother Wade, I'll have you come and close this up for us, please, sir. Good day with you.
Good evening. We're going to get serious and we're going to apply this, but before we do, I just want to acknowledge the heckler on the front row. If you haven't seen Amanda, who's moved from three from the back to the very first, she wasn't there to do Shannon in, she's there to do me in, and I'm sorry, Russ, and we'll go forward from there. Hopefully along the way, you have had the Holy Spirit speak to you. You've learned something, you learned something about yourself or your spouse, and just how you approach things and how God uses money and how He's made us and created us so that we can impact eternity. And so more than likely you've already left with something you've learned and something you've used. But as we take the last 10 or 15 minutes tonight, we're going to apply this, and we're going to talk about why did Pastor want to do this series? What was the purpose of this series? We'll go a little bit back to when I was here four Wednesday nights ago, and introduce this as to the why. And then we'll draw it to conclusion and let you have some introspective time with the Lord as to why we did this, why Shannon brought these to you. And so I want to take you back to the genesis of the series. And Pastor called me 3 or 4 months ago and he said, hey, let's go to lunch. I want to talk about the Quip series this fall and what I would like to accomplish. So that's one of the things we need to remember is our pastor had his heart burdened for what he thought the church that the Lord had entrusted with him needed. And that's important. It wasn't just, oh, we're going to have a financial series. So Pastor sat down with me over lunch, and he said this and that. But then key words and phrases started to form, and that's the title here. He said, we don't want to know what God said about it. We want to talk about finances, and we want to talk about your spiritual legacy and how that impacts eternity. And we'll link all those together over the next 10 or 15 minutes. But as we sat there, and Pastor gave it to me, and I made notes, I told him right then and there, hey, Wade Farmer is not your man. Your man's Shannon Barker. And I knew right then what I had heard Shannon do before is what he was trying to accomplish for you all. And I could introduce it. I could close it. But in between the meat was going to be what Shannon studied out. And Shannon's an example of the Sunday school teachers that we have at Buffalo Ridge. He's one of many that all week look to the Lord about what do we need, and then they feed us. And so, Shannon, I appreciate it, and I appreciate the job you did, and I know it impacted me again the second time around. So that was the genesis of this series, and then let's talk about where we were four weeks ago and what we introduced, and we'll just take a few slides from that time and remind you of where we were going, and specifically about stewardship and what stewardship is, and how the Lord intended for us to use that. And so, gentlemen, I will try to do this. And as usual, I am failing. Shannon could do it, and I can't. Advance it one for me there, Ethan. Thank you, sir. Okay, stewardship. And when we talked about stewardship, and we spent 5 minutes defining it and understanding it and what it was biblically, we talked about it, that it was managing something that had been trusted with us, to us, but was not ours. It was someone else's. And in this case, the Lord has given us our time. The Lord has given us our talents, and He's given us our treasure. And He expects us to be very deliberate and very careful with what He's entrusted us. And so that stewardship concept is something you've heard Shannon mention, and it's woven throughout all 3 weeks. Is how are we going to steward what the Lord has given us? And while we concentrate on the treasure in this four-week series, you may remember that I talked about it's like a three-legged stool. There's more to it than just treasure. What are we doing with our time? how are we, as you go through a week, what are you doing each day to where you impacted something from the Lord? You may have handed out something at the drive-thru of where you were getting your coffee and you handed out a tract, or it may be that your Sunday school teacher needed help knocking doors. There was something in a day that you impacted in eternity with what you did. It may have been just building a relationship for the gospel that you were going to share in 3 months. What do you do with your time, and are you intentional with it, and do you invest it? Do you just spend it and the day just evaporates? Are you intentional? And then you have talents. If you talk about those talents at Buffalo Ridge, there's a class that probably needs teaching if the Lord speaks to you. Or it needs a helper. There's a bus that needs riding, or a bus captain that needs some help with door knocking. There's an aisle that needs ushering. There's a door that needs a greeter. You've just got to see where the Lord had you. So we talked about our time. We talked about our talent. And then we talked about treasure. And as we talked about treasure, we split those into two parts. And Ethan, if you could advance that, please, sir. And we talked about, there was our current treasure, and that we put that in the form of our tithe and our faith promise and things that we did more methodically. We did every 2 weeks, or we did every month, and we use the term, that's what paid the light bills. But our focus was more on the legacy part. And legacy, we often think of that. That means I'm gone and I've left a legacy. But that's not what we're really at. We may do it during life, or we may do it at death. And specifically, there may come a time at Buffalo Ridge that pastor stands up and says, hey, this is where the Lord has me, and we have something big we're about to do, and we have a need so that we can reach our community. And part of this series was, as Shannon taught you about what the Bible said about certain characters, and you could see that in your life, and really, as I said, your shadow side. That's where I learned. It's like, okay, that's me, and I do those things well. Well, that's great. But I don't do those other things so well, and I cannot let my strength be my weakness. I cannot let that shadow side overcome that talent God has given me as whatever money type you were. So then, if you go to the next slide, what we talked about was, yes, we had stewardship, and we knew the definition, and we'd been entrusted with something from the Lord, whether it was our time or our talent or our treasure. And we knew that really for us as Christians, it's what we do for eternity that matters. You know, I was thinking last week as Leslie and I were at a football game, I was thinking about the eternity of my niece and nephew that wanted to stand beside me at the whole ball game because I hadn't seen them in months, and they won't talk to me the whole game. And that relationship I had, was I going to use that relationship to make sure they clearly understood the gospel and that one day they could be with me in heaven? And so it's about eternity. At the end of every day, I know we forget it, and I know that eternity is a heavy weight, but somehow we bypass it. And we just have to have eternity in view. And we have to understand that a soul is going to spend somewhere forever. Now, we know it mentally, but do we act on it? Is it real? Does the day go by where we don't impact eternity? And we talked about three thoughts there. Whatever earthly treasures God has given us, He wants us to invest them in eternity. So when I have money, yes, I need to take care of my family. Yes, we need to have fun. I need to pay my bills. But at the end, if there's a need that impacts the gospel and the Lord lays it on my heart and He puts it in my path, did I meet that need or did I just go right on by it? It's not much different than somebody I pass in the grocery store and the Lord's saying, hey, you need to witness to them. You need to talk to them. You know them. You need to check on where they're going to spend eternity. It's not any different with our treasure. Then all possessions are given by God for us to steward for others' good and His glory. Some of us in our money types, that is real easy for us to do, to think of others first. Others of us, we're a little more self-centered. And we have to understand that. We have to know our tendencies, and we have to ask the Lord to help us do what He had as a plan for our life. And then we close with something that preacher said a lot, you can't outgive God. And I can promise you, I can promise you, if the Lord has for you to do it and you think you don't have it and you've prayed and you've talked to your spouse and you all know that you know you're supposed to do it, you can't outgive God. Amen. If it's not just a whim and you're supposed to do it, do it. So we're going to switch and start to close with this. And Ethan, if don't put it up yet. there you go, Ethan, pull it back up. I want to introduce this, and then I want to read you this. And so Shannon had let me know a couple weeks ago, hey, I want you to close this out. I want you to, so to speak, give the invitation. Pastor will actually give the invitation, but I want you to kind of give the challenge at the end as to why we were doing this and what Pastor was trying to accomplish. And so I kind of knew the three slides I was going to show at the end for about a week, and I sat down again last night, and I looked, and I just wasn't getting there on how we were supposed to end, how we were supposed to close, and what was the impact of it. I still didn't have it this morning, and I'm going through work, and I get a text from Leslie, and she says, hey, this was in my devotion today, and it goes along with where you're going to be tonight. And it just didn't go along. It's it. And that's one of the great things about having a spouse that walks with the Lord and knows where you're at in life and knows what you're trying to do. And many of you know my wife is gifted in what I'm about to show you and how she can relate things. And so to set this up, this is not Wade. This is what Leslie found. And I'm just going to read it to you. And it's going to have two paragraphs. And the last paragraph we'll post on social media more than likely sometime this week for you just to meditate on and you talk to the Lord about. And it's about stewardship. And this is how we're going to draw this to a close. And I'm going to read it to you, and then Pastor is going to come. So, Ethan, if you could put that up there, please, sir. So the important thing in life is not what we drag along, but what we send ahead and what we leave behind. Just pause and let it sink in light of what Shannon's been teaching. What we send ahead, think about eternity, and what we leave behind. Somebody's behind, did they know the gospel? Did we facilitate the gospel to be given in something we were doing with our treasure? We came into this life owning nothing, and we'll leave this life taking nothing with us. Between the joys of birth and the sorrows of death, we're only stewards. There's that word. We're only stewards of all that God has given us, and God wants us to be faithful stewards. Then here's the key part. Let me make sure it's up there when I'm reading this, and yes, it is. Good job, Ethan. Life itself is a stewardship, and as such, it should be invested, not merely spent or wasted. Think about money that you use every day. We spend some, we occasionally waste some, and we invest in the end, hopefully, more than we spend or wasted. Now put your life in there, and I'm going to read that sentence again. Life itself is a stewardship, and as such, it should be invested, not merely spent or wasted. When we accept our lives, this is surrender, when we accept our lives as God's gift and our opportunities, think about it, think about your opportunity tomorrow, and our opportunities as stewardship, then we can make a lasting difference in our world, and I would add, in eternity. So I'm going to turn it over to Pastor. I love our church. I appreciate you all being here, and hopefully these 4 weeks have helped you in your walk with the Lord.
Well, as we close, I want us just to think about this. Yes, the Bible says, moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And so it uses the word stewards, and then it uses the word faithful. And so I can gather from that we are supposed to be faithful stewards. And I hope that you were convicted, as I was, even as Wade was reading that and we're reading on the screens, to when the question was asked, what about your life?
Are we investing it for something more than us? You know, I like certain hobbies and different things, and all of us hopefully have items that we like. The Bible says, God giveth us richly all things to enjoy. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. David was a mighty hunter, but he also played some instruments, and he also did other things. So there's aspects of all of our lives that are different. But at the end of the day, we get a certain amount of years on this earth to make our mark until God takes us home. And I'm not trying to put too much weight on anybody or be too heavy, but are we making the mark that God wants us to make? Moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. And so as we did try to think about this series, I wanted each of us to come face to face with it. Is our money, are we allowing it to leave that legacy? Amy and I are privileged to get to give here at Buffalo Ridge through our regular tithe, and we give to missions, and we're able to give to special projects when we come up. And we also, though, want to look at the things that we can give. We're sitting in an auditorium that was built in 1975, and there was a group of people, some of us sitting here in front of me tonight, that buckled down and gave so that this place could be used for the next 45, 50 years, however long it's been since then, and however long God lets it be used. Well, that's not only true here. That's also true with some of the missions projects that we've been involved in. We've been able to send money over and build a building. You say, well, nobody will ever know who we are. Well, God knows who we are. It doesn't really matter. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust doth not corrupt. And so I'm thankful. Men, first of all, thank you for doing that, this series. But each of us, is our life counting for Jesus? Our time, our talent, our treasure. You say, Pastor, we must be hard up. Do you need extra money? No. God's blessed us so richly. I don't know of one thing this church needs. There will come a time when we can't say that. There's going to be some big needs that, well, we're really going to have to, I know. But right now, we are so blessed. So this is not born out of us trying to squeeze a little bit more juice out of the lemon. This is just that I want all of our lives to count. And I want people to know when it's all over for all of us, that there was a group of people who cared more about him than they did about all that they were doing. And really, I've got 3 kids, you know, and isn't that what we want for them? Whenever we're old or dead, they say, well, Mom and Dad really poured into us. Well, I want also a generation of people to say that about the church here too, your family and friends and stewarding our legacy. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for this time to give, or that we've had to talk about giving. And Lord, I pray as we come to this invitation time, as our ladies come and they get ready to play. And I don't really know much how to give an invitation except just to say, I hope you've been burdened like I did, that I want my life to count. I want my finances to count. I'm so blessed. Amy and I are talking about just, well, multiple times this week, how good you have been to us, dear Lord. Just meeting needs and through the people of this church. It's just been amazing. And Lord, I don't want that goodness that has come to me to stop with me. I need it to go on. I pray that you'd help us steward our legacy. Pray that we'd be right. Realize that all that we have is yours. Help us, I pray, Father, in Jesus' name. If you're able to, would you stand together? As the ladies play something through, if God's speaking to your heart, I invite you to come. You say, Pastor, how are you supposed to come after something like that? I don't know. But I just know if the Lord's speaking to your heart and wants you to come, then I would certainly mind the Lord. If there's something on your heart, regardless of what it is, that the Holy Spirit has convicted, shown, instructed, encouraged you in, wouldn't you come and pray? You need somebody to pray with you, we'll do that. You just want to come pray for yourself, that's fine. Want to make an altar out of your seat right there and just go to God right where you are, that's wonderful as well. I'm so thankful for the truths that have been given. I hope that you've learned. I hope that we all have. As they keep on playing, if you're here tonight and you're not sure that you're saved, we didn't talk about that, but each of the Bible characters picture and show forward the Lord Jesus Christ, Joseph, the great type of the Lord Jesus Christ. And perhaps you're here tonight and you say, Brother John, I don't know that I'm even on my way to heaven. If that's you tonight, would you just slip out and let me or somebody take a Bible and show you how you could be sure? Maybe you have some other need. You want to join Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. You want to be baptized soon. We're going to do that real soon. You just come, present yourself as they play out this verse. Thank you. You may look this way. And men, thank you so much. Shannon, Brother Wade, thank you for doing this. I've enjoyed it immensely. I hope everyone else had. And it's just amazing the way the Lord works. I've enjoyed the material, but I've also enjoyed today. I've been, because I didn't have to preach or teach tonight, the Lord allowed me. And He knew, obviously, all these things. Amazing how the Lord just lines things up. That I spent a lot of time in the hospital today and didn't have to worry about this. And so, even in the little things, God is so good just to weave things through our lives. Aren't you glad you serve a God like that? Goodness gracious. So thankful for that. Let me give you a couple of things before we leave. This Saturday, if you're able to come out at 9:30, we'll eat over at the Family Life Center, and then we're going to go out. We're going to take gospel tracts out into the area, and you may have never done that before. You come, Daniel will pair you up with somebody. We'll go and knock on doors. My name is John. I'm from Buffalo Ridge Baptist Church. We're just out inviting folks to church. If you can do more than that, then you do more than that. But if that's all you can do, that'd be fine as well. We're just going out, inviting folks to church. Others will be visiting Sunday school classes, bus routes, follow-ups from different folks that have come. Come at 9:30. We'll have a short breakfast, and then we'll just go out. If you'd come at 9:30, we'd leave a little before 10, maybe give an hour there. That way you can know for your schedule's sake. But it'd be a great time this Saturday in outreach. And then on Sunday, Brother Mike and Cindy Haley, our good missionaries to Botswana, will be here. I really want you to come and spend some time with them. They'll be here all day long. And these are the couple, if God continues to lead Summer Scroggs the way that He is, that she will be working with. He's a prince of a preacher. He's a great missionary, used of the Lord in a special way. And so I'd like for our church family, since we're going to, summer's going to be over there, I'd like for all of us to know him so we can know better how to pray for them. And so they'll be with us Sunday. And then the following Sunday, on the 12th, Brother Wade, who finished up tonight, his daughter Elizabeth and her husband Nick will be here with us. They'll be providing some special music, and especially during the 8:45 service, they'll be singing two or three songs for us and playing piano and singing for us, and that'll be on that 12th. We'll also have Paul Chappell be our guest speaker for that day, but we'll have a good time on that 8:45 service, and then we'll have a good time at the 11 as well. But those are just a few of the things I wanted you to be aware of. Then be looking forward to the November 19th, just that following week. We'll have Lord's Supper. We'll celebrate that and observe it together. Just a lot of things in our church family that I'm really looking forward to, and the one that I'm not is Time Change Sunday. Don't forget, turn your clocks back. And that actually helps the attendance somewhat on Sunday morning, but boy, does it do a doozy on the evening services. But this is Time Change Sunday coming up, so don't forget. Now, most of us don't even have to worry about your phone changes. You usually got one guy that's designated to go around. That's me at our house. I go around, change your microwave, change the stove and car, or something else I change. But this is my time to shine. I'm useful at the house again. I haven't done anything since spring forward, but I'm back, baby. Better than ever. So thank you for being in church tonight. Make sure you meet somebody who maybe you haven't talked to for a little while and greet them. It's 8:01. We're right on time. Thank you for being here. You're dismissed.